You are listening to the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, Episode 1.
Man, so this is a crazy week for guns and technology. We're gonna do a hard pivot in the show. So obviously, like, the whole 3D printed guns have been kind of a big thing. Every time we talk on the show, we tend to be big advocates of, I guess I'll talk for myself. I tend to be a big advocate of the fact that, you know, it's going to be damaging. It's going to be easy to imagine all the terrible things you can do with a 3D printer. okay. And especially as they get better and better, like, you know, you can, and you know, the whole, you wouldn't download a car. And I've already seen, it was a pic, you know, it's that freeze frame from the anti-piracy things of, you wouldn't download a car. And then it's a picture of a dude holding a 3D printed car toy saying, yes, I would.
I only don't because I couldn't.
Yeah, exactly. Just wait. And so there's all sorts of reasons why 3D printers will be, you know, they obviously have an uphill battle, and there are people like the Cody Wilson dude who's you know, he likes the controversy. He wants people to notice him and what he's doing, and so he's going to go to the most controversial option, which is the 3D printed gun that anybody can print this gun and then go and sneak it into an airplane and take it over and kill everybody. That's the scenario that they're trying to generate in order to catch people's attention and freak them out. Which is weird considering the fact that there are, like, incredibly hard plastics that you can take to your average machine shop. They could easily machine it, cut it out for you on a CNC machine in a couple of hours, put the whole thing together, and guess what? You've got a gun that you can walk into an airport with. I mean, it's just, it's so trivial in the fact that all it does is it takes one person out of the equation. But whatever, it's getting a lot of attention, and people, you know, people love to garner that sort of notoriety. This is a random thought, but the Australians decided to do a demonstration of one and see how dangerous these guns really are. So they downloaded the file of it and they printed one out. And I guess they were using the wrong printer, because when they fired it off, it blew up the gun.
Whoa.
Yeah. Which, you know, that's another part of it is, like, most, you know.
That was like in Iron Man 2 where they're showing off, we've had other places testing your different Iron Man type suits. He goes, oh, really? Let's look at some of those on film.
Yeah, exactly.
Just crashing and blowing up. He goes, oh, yeah, that's working really well.
Exactly.
Keep up the good work.
Yeah, so, you know, it's you know, technology and weaponry is an interesting area of study, but there was one that kind of weirds me out, and it causes an ounce of pause, and maybe for reasons that people won't necessarily understand, but it's really cool technology at the same time. So there's this dude, he's a wild game hunter, and he likes to hunt gazelle, and he's a pretty smart guy, and I can't remember his name. John McHale.
John McHale. McLean or McHale?
McHale.
Okay.
He's a pretty good shot over a pretty good distance. But and when you're, you know, if you don't know anything about firing long range rifles and stuff, you know, you got to take into all sorts of accounts, things into account, like wind speed, you know, temperature, humidity, those all affect how
wind
far
speed.
Wind speed, yeah, how far the bullet goes.
Wind speed.
Yes. How far the bullet goes and where it goes. And then
gravity.
Yes, gravity.
Curvature of the earth.
Those are included.
Wind
too.
Speed.
Yes. And as you and not to mention, those are, like, the things that you take into account if the target's standing still. If it's moving, you have to do all of that while leading the target. And so he had kind of grown frustrated trying to hunt gazelle because it's super fast, and couldn't hit him. And so he decided that, you know, there's some pretty powerful computers out there. Maybe if we were to build a computer into one of the guns, it could help us do the calculations for us. So he designed this. It's basically a camera, and it can do what you do is you go out there and you can do image recognition. So you like point it at a at the gazelle that you want to shoot.
Okay.
And then you tell it that's the gazelle. It'll do image recognition on it. So if the gazelle starts to move, it'll go, okay, that's the gazelle moving, and it'll be able to keep track of it.
Okay.
It's got a bunch of sensors on it for wind speed, temperature, humidity, so it can take all those things into account.
Wow.
And it's a rather intelligent computer, so or a very fast computer. So as it does all those things, it will calculate for you where you need to aim in order to hit that moving target. So it'll create a crosshair.
What does it do, like a red, green, and...
I don't actually know. They didn't show anything.
So you're going to hit it. Got missile lock firing. Yeah,
pretty much. And that's how they describe it. And basically what you do is, like, as it's moving, you just move the gun and you cross the hairs. But this is the great part about it. You don't pull the trigger once they align. What happens is when you're ready to fire, you pull the trigger and then cross the hairs through each other, and when they align, the gun fires.
It only fires when you got it perfect.
Yep. And so, and they're talking about how they're hitting targets up to like thousands of meters off, like 1,100 is one of their long ones. They're really, really long shots.
That's that far? I just
yeah, 1,000 meters is ridiculous. Did you ever see the movie Shooter with Marky Mark?
Yes.
So he shoots like 1,500 meters, and it was, you know, and he's considered like the best in the world. And that's why it's like such a big deal when he kills them, and they go through this thing. So to have like novices be able to hit 1,100 meters, yeah, it's kind of a big deal. Especially because, you know, if you put this on a more powerful weapon, you know, you can get further shots, and as, you know, the progression of technology and all these different things get incorporated, it's going to get better and better.
So that hasn't existed, at least at a military level yet.
Yeah, that's the greatest part about it. They're, like, talking to military guys about this.
Yeah.
And the military's like, that's pretty clever. We'd like to look into that. Like, oh, jeez. And, you know, in a military, you can easily think about it. Like, you got your heads-up display, your, like, helmet that, like, goes on your face. You got your camera that goes onto your like, handgun. And all you have to do is pull the trigger and then, like, fling it past the, you know, toward, like, just fling your gun, like, in the direction of the enemy, like, behind a wall or whatever. And all you got to do is get, like, as soon as it, like, lines up, it'll fire. Just don't worry about it. Just pull the trigger, and then, you know, and you sit there and go, man, that's crazy. That's, you know, that I was about to say, that'll save lives, but technically it will save somebody's life.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then they're talking about, and this is like, this is actually similar technology to, what's interesting to me is that they'd never put it on a gun before, because this is really similar in concept to how.
It's one of those, like, once they do it, you do go, like, why did this take so long?
Yeah. And
other than it's like, oh, it's a performance enhancement technology, and, you know, for the pure sport of it. But from a military perspective,
right?
Who cares?
I'm gonna say,
I want to live.
Yeah. The military. I don't understand why the military hasn't done it. I would never want to go hunting with this.
Llamas.
Gazelles. Llamas don't move that fast.
That's right.
They'll let you just walk up there and, you know, with an axe if you need. And be so brutal. Oh, my goodness. Oh, jeez.
It's not a chicken, man.
I was just thinking, you know, it's got like a really long neck. Oh, jeez. Anyways, so the one...
This is why we need Gazelle to be a sponsor of our podcast.
Exactly.
This would be perfect.
Exactly. And so what's interesting about this is that it's actually very similar technology to what the Abrams M1 tanks have, because, you know, the barrel on an Abrams tank is so long that it, like, flexes at, you know, like, bows up and down as it drives. And that, for decades and decades, that was the biggest problem with tanks, is that in order to hit anything, it has stopped. Let the gun stop vibrating and then pull the trigger. And so in order to hit a target, you had to become a stationary target. And the Abrams tanks can go like 70 miles per hour. It's like one of their biggest, you know, advantages is that they're incredibly hard to aim anything at, because they just move so fast. And so what they did was they developed this. They put a laser at the base of the turret, and it shoots out straight at the target that they want to hit. And so when the cannon like flexes around, as the barrel flexes around, sometimes it'll pass through perfect alignment with that laser. And when it hits that perfect alignment, you just pull the trigger and it won't fire until it hits that perfect alignment, which is what made the Abrams tank so terrifying when they first showed out there. Like, you'd be in, you know, Desert Storm, the Iraqis, they'd like park their tank, aim at these tanks moving 70 miles per hour, like three times as fast as their tanks can ever go. And these Abrams tanks would just like mid-drive would turn at the Iraqi tanks and fire and hit the tanks. And they're just like, we surrender, we give up. Like, how are you supposed to fight that? What the heck? And so it's one of those things where it's not even a particularly novel idea. I think it's just the fact that they're putting it in a package. Somebody did all the engineering to do it.
That's awesome.
There is one little hitch that will prevent it from being used to kill presidents and such things like that by evil people in the world. The fact that it costs $22,000, so it's a bit of an expensive toy.
Wow.
But the thing is that, you know, just the march of technology, you know, give it 10 years and it'll be commercial grade technology like that. So I don't know, terrifying, interesting. It's the future, man.
Huh.
Pretty cool too, I guess. So speaking of soldiers and auto aiming, really.
There was another announcement this week.
Yeah.
It is related to a company in Seattle.
Seattle, the one not cool one.
Actually, I had this somewhere. Where was it? Oh, yeah, here it is. We'll do this company in Seattle first.
Okay.
Because I just thought it was cool and it's fast. Because I just think it's cool. So there was news of a company in Seattle area.
Valve, Microsoft, or Amazon. Those are really your choices when it comes to important Seattle companies.
Costco?
No, tech company. Were we going to talk about Costco? you know, I worked in the original headquarters building for Costco.
That's special.
I know. It's very cool.
So Amazon had some concept drawings this week.
Yeah.
Of their new offices that they would like to build in Seattle.
Nice. Is it going to be a giant skyscraper?
Well, it will involve a giant skyscraper, yes.
Oh, really? Oh, holy cow.
Yeah.
Holy cow. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, there's that. But they will also involve a biodome.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to call it Rufus 2.0.
That makes sense. Why are they calling it that?
I don't know. It's going to be 65,000 square feet.
That's a lot of square feet.
I was off on my floors the other day. With five floors.
All right.
I think I said it was like 16 floors.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's huge.
Five is different than 16.
No.
But it's still, it's five floors up, and it's literally going to have, like, meeting rooms and places for people to hang out and a ton of vegetation and trees. And so, yeah, they're making a biodome. But it's just kind of cool that, and they're literally these big spheres in the middle of the park. And it's pretty cool, like, some of these tech companies are getting pretty darn crazy.
Yeah.
Right? You got one down in Cupertino who's like, we're going to build a spaceship.
Yeah.
You've got these guys now who are like, we're going to build a biodome. And then I don't even know where Facebook's located.
Here.
Yeah, I know, but more specific.
Mountain View.
They're building, what are they doing? Their roof is like, it's essentially one long building, a quarter mile long.
Yeah.
And the roof is going to have vegetation and stuff growing on top of it. So, green roof, whatever. But I think it's cool that they are making, you know, they're not just doing the beige, blocky buildings like some companies I work for. And they are...
yeah, that's awesome. And,
you know, they're...
Make equipment. Yeah.
Yeah, and so they're making some cool buildings.
You know what? That's actually one of the fun parts about living in this area is they do build cool buildings and just kind of crazy. Like, we've got more money than we know what to do with, so we're going to make something fun type structures. I'll have to go check that out. Well, I'll have to let them finish building it, and then.
Yeah, this is just a concept right now.
Oh, jeez, just a concept.
Well, you know, this is what they are proposing to build.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Sounds like the sort of thing that Seattle would like.
Yeah, they'd be into it. Get out of the rain a little bit.
Yeah, get out. Yeah. Stop. It'll be like, oh man, I would spend so much time in there. I wonder if it'll be open to the public at all.
It sounds like it's their regular offices, so
probably not.
That would be my guess.
Oh.
And so we'll have to figure out how to get a tour of some sort.